Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
An Erios original.
And he said, well, they're investigating you to consider charging you with the crime of conspiracy to assassinate the president of the United States, mm-hmm. which holds a lifetime sentence.
It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep. I think I'm coming apart.
Hi, this is Margaret Cho, and this is The Margaret Cho. Today, somebody you know very well, the amazing Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, I'm coming out of the dark.
So we'll take the house tour in a minute, but this house is impressive.
This is a very fancy house. I lovingly call it my fuck you house.
It is,
because I love when agents or executives come in and they go, oh my God, what does your husband do? And I go, I'm my
ridiculous.
Husband.
Right.
And I do dick
ridiculous.
Jokes.
That's ridiculous. I mean, is it a historic property?
It is a historic property in that it is the subject of a documentary called Sour Grapes. Mm-hmm. And it was on an episode of American Greed, because the guy who built the house is an Indonesian guy named Rudy, who is now in prison. And he is the number one wine defrauder in history.
Oh.
Yes. You may have read about him. Yeah. And he and his mother, and I guess I'm on the wrong side of the law, but I kind of have a thing for the mom,
uh-huh.
because I guess they got caught. I think they were living in Bell, and the mom looked very much like my mom, like I guess the Indonesian version of my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And the quote crime photos are just, I find them charming. Mm-hmm. It's his mom in a muumuu, and she's older, mm-hmm. and it's just her with a bunch of bottles in a sink in a house in Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And what they would do is they would siphon off the labels of fancy wines, put them on cheap bottles,
right.
and they fooled so many sommeliers.
Wow.
And James Beard Award winners that I actually think it's funny in the documentary Sour Grapes, which I guess I'm plugging Netflix. My favorite part of the documentary, they actually don't show the house. They show it for like one frame, is all these sommeliers, they kind of still stick up for him.
Because
they just can't bring themselves to admit that they were fooled by Rudy and his mom in her muumuu and Belle. So I'm going to be honest. I feel like if the mom ever showed up, I think I would let her in.
Yeah, you should.
Right?
I would.
You know, because it has a 1,000-bottle wine cellar. Mm-hmm. And as you know, I've never had a drink in my life.
Right.
And it's, I just find that sort of humorous.
Mm-hmm.
And also, this is the house that wine built.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the house, there are professional grade wine coolers everywhere.
Right.
So I think this was going to be like the main operation before mm-hmm. Rudy went on his staycation.
I see.
I kind of want to honor him a little bit, in that at least I'm leaving like the wine areas.
I think that's good.
Yeah,
you
but
could
it
put
was
perfume in there. You could put skincare in there.
Well, I will tell you that Kris Jenner, and you know I love to drop a name.
Yes,
Kris Jenner came over, and you have to maintain the room at I think 55 degrees at all times. And Kris Jenner came over, and she said, "You know what you should do?" Or no, she goes like this: "You know what we should do?" And I go, "There's no we." All right, what are you talking about? All right, I'm going to call you a dirty whore the minute you leave. And she laughed and she goes, "We should call in style and you should have a dinner party and we all wear parkas and the chalices are all made of ice and in style will pay for it all."
Ooh.
And I go, "No, they won't." And she goes, "Of course they will." I go, "No, no." I go, "Are you going to call them and are you coming?" And she's like, "No, but I'm sure you could." I go, "No, Kris. I can call in style 10 times, okay? Mm. They're not covering me in parkas." And I go, "But I don't think that's like a fun party."
No, it wouldn't
people
be fun.
It's kind of cold, 55 degrees.
That is really cold.
But I did love that Kris Jenner was like, "Everybody will cover it."
Yeah, and I love the conspiratorial tone mm-hmm. of like, you know what we should do.
Right, we.
I like that.
Yes.
I think she's very nice.
I love her. I think she's great.
I think she's a genius, actually.
Of course she is. course,
I mean,
she is.
All that she's created out of really just her daughters.
You know what I thought was really good, and I'm still going to make fun of anyone, people, places, and things. But I really liked that Jill Soloway quote when she said, "You can't really call yourself a feminist and shit on Kylie Jenner."
Oh,
meaning,
it's true. Yeah.
Is there any woman among us who wishes that they had, who doesn't wish that they had thought of that and had Kris Jenner saying,
"It's so great.
Here's your lip liner.
Yeah.
And you're going to be a billionaire with a B."
It's so great. And then they were neighbors too. They were, when I was here the first time, I know that they lived next door, or and Kanye live next door.
Kim and Kanye live next door. And I have to say, during the whole like Trump photo scandal, like for the next year and a half, having them next door, believe it or not, was sort of really consoling. Because with all the craziness and the sort of crap raining down on me, every so often I would just look out the window and see something really like funny and outrageous. Like Kris got them a custom Rolls Royce golf cart.
Oh.
So Kim and Kanye could drive the kids around the little circle in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day on my walk, and I should have taken a photo, but even I'm not this much of an asshole. I'm on my walk, and then I see Kanye with a tow truck, because halfway across the little community, I guess the Rolls Royce golf cart broke down or ran out of gas or something. And it was just a hilarious visual to see a tow truck driver and Kanye West, and you hear the truck like beep beep, and Kanye's just waving like, "Okay, we're bringing it down." and I had to give him this little clap.
Yeah,
and I just went like this.
Yeah,
and I didn't say a word, and I don't know if he recognized me.
Well, I'm sure he did.
I don't know. I mean, there's time. Like every time I went over there, Kim was like, "This is Kathy, the comedian from next door." Who
sure
came
that,
over last time?
Yeah. He's got to remember.
Okay.
You're very memorable.
Let's go with it. Well,
you're very
memorable. And then I would go in for a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And he would stiffen up. Ooh. And then, of course, I wouldn't let go. So then it became like this weird game. And I have to say, I love her because she laughs at my jokes.
Yeah.
And she laughed. He really acted like he didn't know what was happening. And I was just like, okay, she gets it. So yeah. I just assumed when I left, she'd be like, "Oh, that's Kathy. She's outrageous. She's trying to push your buttons." Like, I don't know. I always love to imagine their conversations either before I went over or after I left.
Yes. Yes.
And also, I just like to imagine the conversations like at the breakfast table.
And in general. I mean, in general, how do they communicate? And
Well, first of all, I'm going to say that, I mean, he's open about his issues, right? So we can talk about that. But I'm just going to say there's real love there.
I think so, too.
Like, I really...
I think so.
I really, you know... I mean, she's aware. She's aware of the issues.
Yeah.
She's not aware. And she loves him. And the kids are great. Mm-hmm. And I will always be grateful because one time, my beloved mom, Maggie, who you've known forever.
Yes.
And, of course, who just loves you, adores you forever. She has fallen into very, very deep dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. So it's just really sad because, as you know, her mind, even at 99, I mean, she really up until like 97 and a half, she still had it. And was still,
so
by
sharp.
The way,
yeah,
still
so sharp.
Watching the Kardashians every week.
Uh-huh.
Still watching Sean Hannity.
Oh, really? Yes.
Margaret, I don't.
That is the weirdest.
How do we forgive?
I don't know.
I love her.
It's really divided so many families.
Right. Although I will say, like, I think at my mom's age, it was easier to deal with because it wasn't like, I you know my joke, and I kind of think it's half true. I think she kind of switched to Fox News because, as she said, and this is true, she said, "I like Fox News because they talk loud and they wear very bright colors. And when Lawrence O'Donnell, your goddamn boyfriend, is on, I can barely hear him." And I've told the story before, but I'm so proud of it. What I would do is I would go to her condo and I would switch it to Rachel Maddow when she wasn't looking.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started watching the Maddow show and loved it because she didn't know I had changed the channel.
Oh.
And I'm very proud of this. Rachel Maddow, who I do not know, I met her one time like in a hallway for 2 seconds. She somehow heard about it and sent my mom an autographed photo, like an 8x10 headshot of her at the desk. And it said, "Dear Maggie, I love it here at Fox. Keep watching Rachel Maddow."
Oh,
so.
How great.
My mom always thought Rachel Maddow, and this, I'm not even kidding, this is going to sound totally inappropriate, she said Rachel Maddow is her favorite guy on Fox.
Oh, I think that's so nice.
I do too. At 97, we can't get mad. If she was 17, I would Right. We would call the Gay Star Chamber, which you and I are members of. And we take the elevator down, mm-hmm. and there's the vault, mm-hmm. And then David Geffen opens the vault, and then the ghost of Sandy Gallen lets us in. Oh, and it's a series of doors. It's like Get Smart.
Yes,
it's a series of elevator doors.
That's right.
But at 97,
Yeah.
You have to just, what are some of the, I know you've talked about it in your act, but was there ever anything as your mom got really older,
mm-hmm.
did you find that you were able to put up with the inappropriate stuff more? Or did your mom get PC? Please tell me she didn't.
She didn't get PC exactly, but she, I don't know. They're still pretty much the same. Both of my parents, although they started to become each other, so they're not different at all. They're very
Did you ever tell them that?
No, they would be mortified.
Oh, you had. Oh, I want to know, because I just have a feeling they would deny it.
Yeah, they would definitely go, no, I'm nothing like him. They would be very, very anti that idea.
But what would your dad say?
He would just protest in a very guttural
Wow, he sounds really violent. He sounds really violent.
They just are very They're very similar. Now they've been married for 60 years.
I know, it's so cool.
It's so long.
My parents were, when my dad died, they were about to come up on 65 years.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
It's good. It's good for partnering lessons for us.
Oh, tell me about it.
It's good. But I don't have a partner. I'm single.
Good.
I'm single.
Anyone, you have to. You deserve the best and only the best.
I know.
You must hold out for the best and only the best.
Who would be good? I don't even know. I think because I'm 50 now, so it's sort of I kind of think maybe I won't be in a relationship ever again because I've had one every time.
No. You're going to find that right person, and it's going to finally be the right person that you go, okay, this is what I've been looking for.
Yes.
And he's going to adore you.
I hope so.
I think that's the number one quality.
Mm-hmm.
Must adore.
Must adore.
Yeah. And nice. Must adore and nice.
Yes.
And be straight up, okay?
And cool. Yeah.
Honest
and
good
fun.
Person.
And I mean, but it is one of those things, how do you date when you're famous and older? And
you're a female comedian and you don't have a, I was going to ask you, who's your spotter these days?
Who's my...
Can you explain to your audience what a spotter is?
What is a spotter?
Okay, I love that you said that because, look, I love Dave Chappelle. I think he's a genius. Uh-huh. You and I have known him since he was a teenager, 18 or whatever.
Yeah.
And Dave says to me one time, not too long ago, I ran into him in, I think, Montreal, and he goes, because I was doing a lot of shows.
Yeah.
I think I was in the middle of an 80-city tour one year. I went kind of cuckoo after I got canned from Bravo. I just panicked. I was like, I'm doing 80 cities. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he's who's your spotter?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, spotter. And you don't want to act like you don't know. And I'm thinking, okay, is that is a new word for agent? Is that a word for road manager?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just finally, I just went, what's a spotter? And he's like, when you're doing shows, who's the person that goes in the audience with a flashlight and then tells you later, this is a hot guy, you should sleep with tonight.
Wow.
And I go, and as I've had many times with our male comedian friends, I had to just go, David, you don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
How many decades have I been saying when you're a chick comic, you pretty much do the show. And in my case, I am happy to go back to the hotel,
mm-hmm.
watch TV and have a tuna melt.
Yeah.
There's no spotter. I go, when you're female, mm-hmm. even if, I don't know, maybe there are heterosexual women out there that would have a spotter, find a hot dude. By the way, they don't exist. It's not like that for female comedians. There's not a bunch of hot guys waiting to, that's more the Jerry Seinfeld with women situation. But I was just trying to say, you have to understand, how could that be safe for me in any scenario,
mm-hmm.
where there's a total stranger and I'm like, oh, because you were in the audience, why don't you come back to the hotel and rape me and draw and quarter me, So I just was I don't think you've thought of the logistics. And also, I think that would be weird and gross to fuck an audience member. I can't believe all the guys do it.
Well, I mean,
and I won't
guess...
name names, but you and I both know plenty.
Yeah.
Who when I was doing clubs, mm-hmm. my opener would just be fucking either a cocktail waitress or...
Yeah. I was always staff, which I think is better though, because staff is different. Staff
but in
is
a hotel that I was paying for, liability issues. And also, what if this poor woman doesn't have a good experience with such said male comic?
True.
I'm still to this day explaining, there's a really big difference between girl comics and boy comics.
Right.
It's just how we approach post, mm-hmm. post show. I didn't know. So
yeah.
You're saying you don't have a spotter either.
I don't have a spotter. I've never even thought of that.
I've asked Lisa Lempin. I've asked every comic and they're all like, of course not. Like,
I mean, yeah, I just don't think that, I don't know. And I'm also not in the mood necessarily after shows. After shows, I would want to go back and eat.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Or
you know?
Go over the jokes and be like, okay, what worked, what didn't, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, something, but it's not, and definitely, you know, or watch a Forensic Files or whatever.
Of course. Yeah. All the best shows are on.
Late at night.
Yes.
Or an infomercial.
Yes. And some, yeah, especially if you're in like not a major city. When you go on the road, what are the sort of local things that you like to do? Is it food? Is it
I'll
TV?
Usually do like food.
Architecture?
Yeah, food or maybe just the shopping. Usually it's mostly shopping and food. That's kind of my interest. If I'm really ambitious, if I'm there for a long time, or if it's Europe or Britain, and then it's a museum.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. If I have the energy, then it's food and shopping.
I agree. I think it's so weird to travel and then go to like chain restaurants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's weird.
I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I don't want to go to a restaurant. I could go to an LA, or maybe wouldn't even go to an LA.
Yeah.
Although I have done the Cracker Barrel, because there are just times when you're just on the freeway.
Yeah,
and that's
need
as,
it.
That's as close to homemade.
I but do like I, a Mad Libs. So you
I,
can go
I like
the
a Mad Libs
store.
And I have had a dream, which I haven't fulfilled, of buying a rocking chair with every state on it.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and it's I'm not really a collector. But if I ever became a hoarder, which is on the table, then that would be one of the things I would collect.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't think of you as a collector unless it's something like a dolly. Remember your dolly?
I still have it.
It's upstairs.
And my mother used to call it the Picasso. And she'd say, oh, you're having all these goddamn parties and someday someone's going to steal that Picasso. And I just went with it. And I said, oh, I know, you're right. I got to hide that. What would Pablo say? what is your city that you would go to if the shit really, really hit the fan with Trump? Or country.
San Francisco. Well, I think San Francisco. Or country.
Yes. Okay. So if it was in America, you'd be like, all right, they've, you know, there's civil war. They've taken to the streets, all the stuff they're threatening to do. There's torches. So in America, it would be San Francisco. And then what about country?
Maybe Iceland.
Oh.
That would probably be the place
I played
to go.
There.
How is it there? I've never been there, but I've always wanted to go.
It's super cool. It's super cool. The people there are very, very smart. Everywhere I went, they engage in like intellectual conversation.
Yes.
It was the first time that I was in a restaurant and a guy yelled at me because I asked for a straw for my Diet Coke. And then when he told me why, I was so stupid. That's the first time I heard about the straw thing. And I was like, oh. So they're super ecologically aware in a way that we need to be.
That's great.
And the food was great. And because when I was there, it was just so bitter cold that like many places like with a climate like that, you get just great restaurants. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you kind of get great conversation. And the audience was fantastic. Like I got to play kind of like, I guess it was their opera house, but it's I forgot the name of the hall. But the audience was so great. And I finally said to them, I go, how do you guys even like know who I am? And then they yelled YouTube. And I'm like, I'm barely a presence on YouTube. But I was grateful that somehow I was able to muster up an audience there.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, it's that's where you should have the dinner with the parkas.
Yes.
In an ice hotel.
That's
in
true.
Iceland. Where would you go if you...
It was so funny. I was thinking that if something happened where there was some sort of Armageddon where, you know, we all had to make some sort of choice and it wasn't like we just had to.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would move to Montreal.
Oh, I love Montreal.
I've always
too,
loved
yeah.
Montreal.
It is great.
I would brush up on my French and learn to say more than Oué la toilette. And I just think it's a great city.
It is. And we have lots of good memories there.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yeah.
But there's not going to be civil war. He's going to be impeached.
Yes.
And I feel like you were the start of the descent. You were the start of the road back to normal, I think.
I tried to ring a bell. You know, my joke is I was ahead of my time.
You very ahead. But that's great.
It's definitely been, you know, I mean, you've known me a long time and I've definitely never been through anything like this.
No.
And when I found out, no one has.
So nobody has.
Because it never happened in the history of the United States is why I made the movie, Kathy Griffin, Hell of a Story.
Yes.
And I'm so glad to be able to like still be going to film festivals and it's getting awards, which is hilarious to me because I don't know anything about the movie industry. Mm-hmm. And yet they have embraced me more than the industry I've been making a living in for decades, which is television and now streaming.
Right.
So I'm still blacklisted. I don't have a day of work ahead of me the rest of my life.
I don't believe that.
I don't have a day of work ahead of me the rest of my life.
No, but you can tour the world and it's
really...
I don't
know if I'm going to choose to tour now. I think if the movie, now that the movie is overseas... And it's doing well in the United States. I mean, for the most indie docu-comedy feature ever. Like, no advertising budget. No, you know, there's no posters on Sunset Strip or anything. But I'm hoping the movie will be the gateway to me being able to tour again.
Yes.
Because, like you, the good thing is this actually did make me global.
It's great.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah.
And so if I do tour again, I will definitely do a global tour and not just the States. Mm-hmm. And I think there is more of a thirst overseas for an American to stand on stage and explain all the crazy shit that's happening.
Absolutely.
Because did you find that when you're overseas, that the minute they hear your American accent, they just start pummeling you with Trump questions?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes.
Like everywhere. Like you can be at a diner, no matter where you are. It's like... you're going to get coffee and then they'll just stop and go, what the hell are you guys doing over there? In every country, I found that.
Yeah, because they're terrified and also so like schadenfreude.
Yes.
That they're like delighting in our misfortune, but at the same time scared.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
But you have like real reason to have an issue with this administration. I mean, what did it what happened with the photo shoot with the head?
Yeah.
For me was like, this is great. This is like the French Revolution.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I mean,
there's
thinking.
A lot of iconic imagery like that. In fact, used in comedy.
And Salome and also John the Baptist. You know, it's great.
There's also a David Spade movie called Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag. And I believe there's a scene in Death Becomes Her where somebody rolls like Meryl Streep's head down a bowling alley or Isabella Rossellini or something like that. So I, of course, never thought it would take off in the way that it did.
Yeah.
But I also didn't realize that the reason it took off that way was a very specific... set of apparatus that they already had in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really the first celebrity it was used on. I mean, D-list as I am, but this, I always have to tell people, this photo was pre-Me Too, pre-Weinstein. Mm-hmm. There weren't really a lot of women standing up for anything because, you know, we were all like still crying at the Javits Center in our minds or still trying to deal with the reality and all this stuff. So when it happened, it just exploded. You know, I'm going to be honest, I still feel like collateral damage. Like the toughest thing for me in a way has been that no one has been a significant public advocate for me. And what I just kept trying to say from day one is, if this could happen to me, it could happen to you.
Yeah.
And it probably happened to me because I'm a 58-year-old woman who has the nerve to fly in the face of everything Trump and his believers believe in. How dare I be successful? How dare I be vulgar? How dare I succeed in a man's world? How dare I speak up to him, even though, as you know, I've known him off and on for like 25 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And one time he even hired me specifically to roast him.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that the photo was truly sent through the manipulation machine is why I made the film, but also the first third, the documentary part, people respond to that almost more than the comedy part because I learned while making it, I didn't know that the disinformation folks like the Cambridge Analytica's and the AMI Media and Harvey Levin and TMZ, they were all working in tandem.
Mm-hmm.
And Troy Miller, who directed the film, said sort of casually when we were doing the documentary part, which I had to fight like a dog for, by the way, everybody just wanted to make it a special. And I was like, I've done 23 specials. This has to be a feature film.
Yeah.
Because it's honestly documenting something historic, whether you like me or not.
Yeah.
And so it took so many battles.
Mm-hmm.
With so many men on the phone saying, who do you think you are, while I was crying. I'm just being honest, that shit still happens.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, do you think there's any pictures of the image in other papers in foreign languages? And then I just did a Google search and I found out that within 12 hours it had been manipulated in whatever way the Trump woodchipper had decided, but it was in the papers in Moscow, China, Arabic papers, French papers, you know. So within 12 hours they had manipulated it or sent it out with a message. And that's how I learned how they made the connection between my photo and me being in ISIS, which makes sense.
Well, yeah, that's so crazy.
So the Arabic one said Kathy Griffin's jihad asset. And then the Daily Stormer ran with that, the Daily Caller and Breitbart and all those guys. Incredible. And then it just became, you know, a talking point.
Yeah.
Because Mueller had just been assigned. And
of course.
So
yeah.
now we kind of know the drill.
Yeah.
But I just have to say, like, to this day, I have a little, like, I'm still here. Like,
yeah.
Look, you can make fun of Michael Avenatti all you want, and he deserves it. But I would have killed to have some attorney on cable news every night going, doesn't matter what you think about this photo. Mm-hmm. Didn't violate the First Amendment. Didn't break the law. Mm-hmm. This, you know, if one of your kids had done this, they shouldn't have to have death threats. And then to be put under a federal investigation without any notice has right. also never happened.
Yeah.
Because I talked to all the other people who allegedly threatened the president. I talked to Peter Fonda before he passed away, and he got a Trump tweet, and he said, no, man, he talked like Easy Rider. He's like, no, man, the Secret Service has called for like 10 minutes. And I was like, okay. I talked to Bette Midler. The Secret Service called Bette Midler 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
That's so makes me so pissed off. Yeah. But anyway, the point is, in my case, I just got a call from my First Amendment attorney, Alan Isaacman, who just said the feds have opened an open-ended case on you. The Secret Service and the U.S. Attorney's Office came straight from the Department of Justice and Jeff Sessions, and they are going to investigate you in an open-ended timeline. And I still couldn't wrap my brain around that.
Yeah.
I was like, well, there's nothing to investigate, so how is this going to end, and how can we end this quickly? Like, I wasn't getting it.
Yeah.
And he said, well, they can keep it open as long as they want, and they're investigating you to consider charging you. That's why the U.S. Attorney's Office was, like, on deck with the crime of conspiracy to assassinate the President of the United States, which holds a lifetime sentence. Then I found out that I was on the no-fly list.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I could probably sell some tickets overseas, but I couldn't go anyway.
Yeah.
And then I went through the investigation, and I was also interrogated by the feds under oath.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know that part either, because a lot of the other folks who, you know, Morrissey or people that tweeted about Trump and then he would tweet about it, they literally just got like a phone call.
Yeah.
Which is standard procedure, because the Secret Service, I got a lot of help. I was really lucky. I talked to a lot of retired Secret Service, retired FBI, retired CIA, and they were kind of guiding me. And they said, yeah, normally, you know, I remember talking to one retired Secret Service agent, and he said, you know, prisons are filled with people that are quite serious about killing any president.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he goes, you don't fit that profile one bit. And he goes, but also, you know, these Secret Service agents, they're so good at their job. Like, we can usually ascertain if someone is serious literally within minutes.
Right.
And so, I said, okay, you know, but they had skipped that whole part, and they just went right to opening the actual investigation.
Yeah.
And once that starts, then there's no such thing as, you know, dropping it, or there's nothing I could have done, or, I mean, first of all, I would never have done anything like write an apology letter or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I just had to go through it.
Yeah.
You know, and then the Trump army was whipped into a lather, which they continue to be in to this day. And I will say, while I'm very proud of Kathy Griffin to tell the story, I think they thought I was going to make this little movie and it would be a big bomb. And instead, it got fantastic reviews, the best reviews of my career. I'm very proud. And so I think in a way that pissed off the base a little more.
Yeah.
So to this day, I have like all the, like, who comes after you? Do you have any Trump people come after you?
All the time. Any of that. All of that.
Is it groups? Like, I have like all the Nazis. I'm on their list.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, you know, for me, it's kind of like, I think it's kind of in general, any kind of trolling. And then the incels always get so angry.
Yes.
They just don't like women anyway.
No, no. And as the great prophet Jacob Wall says, men lead, women follow. But he's come after me literally hundreds of times on Twitter.
Ooh.
And he is facing federal fraud charges. And on top of that, he still had a press conference last week with his so-called attorney, Jack Berkman, on their stoop. And he was alleging that Elizabeth Warren has been hiring a male escort and engaging in multiple BDSM acts.
Ooh.
And that she demanded, she was able to use a cat of nine tails. Mm-hmm. And then he showed a scar he has on his back, to which there were literally like 6 members of the press, and they were just going like, woo, like no one took it seriously, which I loved. And then, of course, before the so-called press conference was even over, someone had already looked up this escort's Instagram, and he had already posted like, oh, I got this scar I was fixing a chain link fence or something like that. So it was sort of debunked in real time.
Yeah. I mean, that would make me want to vote for Elizabeth Warren more. I mean, I'm endorsing her anyway.
Of course. I actually, when I did her. Best in Drag Show, which is a show you and I are familiar with, it's, they benefit Housing for Alliance and Healing. And they used to be called Aid for AIDS, and now they're Housing for Alliance and Healing. Go to their website and donate if you can. But anyway, so I got to do like 7 or 8 minutes at the show the other night. And I just told that whole story. And every quote that I had from the guy complaining about his rough sex with Elizabeth Warren, the entire theater was just cheering.
They love it.
They loved her more.
Yeah.
They loved her more.
We love her more.
Yes.
I love her.
Yes. I love her too. She has a plan for everything.
Is she going to be president? I hope so.
I hope so. But I'm so fearful that the misogyny runs so, so deep.
It does.
You know, when I think of 53% of white bitches voting for Trump, I still can't get over
it. I don't believe that.
I can't get over it. It makes me paranoid. Like, I look around and go, are you one of them? It's like pod people, evasion of the pod people.
Yeah, we don't know.
I can't believe it. Like, I knew there'd be a couple dumbass bitches, but I can't believe 53%. And that's what scares me about the privacy of the voting booth, meaning, obviously, it should be private, but, you know, how many people are going to say, sure, I'm for Warren, sure, I'm for Harris, but once they're in the booth, male or female, they just can't bring themselves to vote for a vagina.
Yeah.
And also, Elizabeth Warren is the farthest thing from shrill. And I've already heard a couple of the straights going, she's shrill. And
She's not
shrill at all. It's just such a go-to
shrill
word.
Shrill is not even bad.
No, especially compared to Orange Dumbass. I mean, how would you define him?
God. Everything bad.
I know.
Everything bad.
I know. Also, we have, you know, it's really their right-wing bullshit that we like have too many candidates. We have an embarrassment of riches.
Yes, we do.
I mean, that's our only problem is we have amazing candidates. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can tell you my faves and not faves. It doesn't matter. But that's like, doesn't mean we're a mess because we have so many great candidates.
There's so many people stepping up to want to change everything, which I think is so great. It's very noble.
But I'm going to say something controversial.
Yes.
I also am shocked and disappointed that Booker and Castro like can't even get on the board. Mm-hmm. And number one, I just love Booker. I just think he's the real deal and he's super honest.
Yeah.
And I just think he's so smart. And yet he doesn't, you know, he went to like Stanford and Harvard and shit, but he doesn't play that game.
No.
So I just wish the front runners were, obviously I want a female president qualified before I die.
Yes.
And or person of color.
Yes.
So I don't see how it's not just Warren, Harris, Booker, and Castro.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this, and I'm sorry, your timeline's gonna be really nasty when this goes live. I'm serious. I'm really sorry.
It's
You're
okay.
gonna get robots beyond.
It's okay.
Beyond robots.
It's fine.
I don't want Bernie or Biden. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't. I want I want a woman. And even my boyfriend Randy, I love when he says this to me. He goes, okay, like seriously, you women, you have to just take over everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like and it's so funny because we jokingly call it our 2-year plan. Because this is what I'm pitching to the world. It's radical. And it's a platform.
Yeah.
So you can't say I don't have a platform.
Yeah.
As I'm running for nothing. You just have to let women run everything for 2 years.
Yes.
2 years.
Yes.
We're not taking over.
No.
We're not cutting your dicks off.
Right.
We're not emasculating. Just, I think we could, and also, preference, lesbian.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, always.
You think Susie Orman?
She would be great.
Oh, my God.
She would be great.
Here's the cabinet. Susie Orman, Joan Jett, Hillary Rosen, Melissa Etheridge.
Oh, yeah, yeah, perfect.
We know the gals in the mafia.
Yeah.
You let the gals run. I call them the gals. You let the gals run things.
Uh-huh.
And then you slowly weave the guys back in.
Yeah.
And you weed out, like, which are, like, the Trent Lotts that still think Anita Hill's a whore.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I thought Trent Lott was dead.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Jeff Sessions was dead when he came after me. I remember making fun of Jeff Sessions as a child.
Yeah.
Like, he was an old, almost dead Nazi then.
Yeah.
And I can say Nazi because it's opinion and it's covered in the First Amendment. So, so anyway, those are my two plans. Number one, please let women run shit.
Yes.
And you guys have had a really good run.
Mm-hmm.
And women and people of color. And also, this is somebody else's joke, so I don't mean to be a joke thief, but someone said, we have to keep the browning of America going.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, this is actually, I'm going to name drop again.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to Gloria Steinem one time in jest, and I said, what do you think has been worse for the women's movement, the Real Housewives or the Kardashians? And I thought she would just like not even know what I was talking about. And she goes, oh, the Real Housewives, definitely.
Yeah.
And I go, really? Mm-hmm. Why? And she goes, well, at least on the Kardashians, they show interracial relationships.
Right.
And I was like, okay, Glow. All right. Go, girl. So So that's what I want to ask you. How, you know, we hear so much about, you know, the African-American community and gun shootings and the brown community and the concentration camps. And that's what I call them. Mm-hmm. Sorry, but that's what they are.
Yeah.
So as an Asian woman of color, talk to me about your community and how you guys are feeling about where you fit in. And are you like in our dealings with the gay community, because mm-hmm. we're very immersed, I feel a vibe from the entire LGBTQ community, like, we think we're probably next. Like, in the Asian community, what is sort of the feeling about where you guys lie in the, oh God, are there going to be internment camps again for us?
Yeah.
Like,
It's trying to understand, like, where we fit. And it's that kind of thing of, like, where do we fit? I think for Asian Americans right now, it's just about visibility and trying to figure out, like, where we are and, like, trying to be seen.
Can I ask you a racially insensitive question?
Yes.
I have this weird feeling. This is going to come out wrong. I have this weird feeling Asian Americans are sort of not on Trump's radar at all.
Yeah, it's almost like
I will say he's not that. He doesn't have. What's the word for it? The white guys that only date Asian chicks.
Oh, he has yellow. He doesn't have yellow fever.
I'm just saying. Like, uh-huh. I think he's so shallow and stupid, and I know him to be.
Yeah.
I call him aggressively stupid.
Yeah, he is.
Like, Britney Spears, like, takes pride in it. And that is not a diss. Britney's doing the best she can, and we love her and support her.
Yes.
But I almost feel like being seen is such an interesting answer, but it almost might have a double-edged sword. do you feel like the community feels like you guys are sort of under the radar for the moment?
We've always been under the radar. We've always been under this the ideation that we are, like, foreign or that we're, our foreignness is somehow keeps us exempt from participating in what is American life. It's surreal. And, but I mean, you're here to make it better and you're here to show us what we can do. And so where can people see your movie? I want to see it. I haven't gotten to see it.
What? Okay, I'm very excited and I'm very braggadocious about it. Okay, yes. So I'm wearing my t-shirt because
I love it.
I am, you know me, I've never been shy about this.
It's great.
I've been known to wear a sandwich board with my picture on it. So it's available on Apple iTunes or Catalina, whatever it's called. I honestly don't know. Amazon Prime. And then what are these other ones? Because these are ones the kids watch and I don't understand.
Vudu, Xfinity. Vudu. You can get movies
I think
and streaming.
It's also on demand.
On demand.
And that's, I don't know if you have to have Dish or Direct or both. Okay.
I can watch it on Apple TV and then I can watch it also on Prime Video.
It's interesting. I don't know why, but more people are buying it on iTunes than any platform.
Yeah, that's good.
It's great. I'm just surprised because I had so many people say, like, oh, iTunes is so over, and Netflix, you know, I'm blacklisted at Netflix and HBO and every single network. I can only be on 3 talk shows now. I'm down to 3. Kimmel, Seth Meyers, and Wendy Williams. That's it.
Oh, those are the best ones anyway.
I know, but come on. I'm just telling us a story of history, whether you like me or not. Like, I have to admit, I'm resentful. I'm like, come on, you guys, let me spread my little independent movie. And also it gives someone an excuse to say this, what they want. Like, I really don't get offended when people go, you know, I hated the picture. I'm like, that's okay. That's okay. But just watch this movie, because these things are not only just happening on TV, they really are happening everywhere.
Yes.
And I kind of, it's a little bit of a, it has some instructional moments on hopefully how to get through something.
Yeah.
And I show the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's some Kathy Griffin ugly no makeup crying that was so bad that the director decided to do it in Madonna Truth or Dare Black or White.
No.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
You look great.
But anyway, but what I'm really excited about is my little movie that could has been winning awards. It started at South by Southwest. I won the Freedom of Speech Award at the Michael Moore Traverse City Film Festival, and I did the keynote with him. Tina Brown asked me to open up the 51 Fest, which is a women's film festival, saying that we're 51% of the population, so we should, you know, our voice should matter a lot more. And I did the keynote with Tina Brown, which was scary, by the way. She's like scary. She's kind of Barbara Walters scary.
Oh, okay.
But I sort of fell in love with her, too.
Yeah.
And she didn't laugh at any of my jokes, which, aww, you know, I just kept asking her if I could borrow her Fabergé egg. And she must have one.
She must have several. She must have a dozen.
Thank you.
A dozen.
Several.
Yes.
And I did a keynote with Kara Swisher, also a good presidential candidate.
Yeah.
If we're thinking of lesbians that could start Monday, Kara Swisher would be good. So it's really cool. And I have, you are one of the very few of my friends who stuck with me.
Yes.
So I love you forever.
I love you forever.
Love you forever.
I love you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So great.
Never miss an episode of The Margaret Show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. The Margaret Show is an Erios production with editing by Kat Hong and original music by Garrison Starr.
Powered by ACAST.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.